Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Happy Friday, everybody. Kelly Kirsch along with you in a busy show that will be very heavy Flames orientated. It's back. Eric Francis Fridays. We'll do that at 12:30. But first, let's go to Flames training camp and talk to Lou.
Flames insider Peter Loubardias brought to you by the Gemini Group. Imagine your life, your style, your home renovation should be a reflection of you. Give your home the Gemini difference. Visit GeminiGroup.ca.
Well, Peter, it is day five of the Flames back to work, back to practice. What can you tell us as the headline today?
Well, the headline is Michael Backlund is just that, like the first four letters of his last name. He is back. And that is terrific news to have one of the Flames' premier centermen back after missing a full day. He left day number two about 25 minutes in, obviously was bothered, has missed a couple, and then came back today. So that certainly is the news of the day, and someone who is about to hopefully play his 21st playoff game of his National Hockey League career coming up on August the 1st. And hard to believe, Kelly, it seems like yesterday in some ways that he was a first-round pick of this team back in 2007, and he's almost played 700 regular season games, 31 years of age. I don't know where the time has gone, but his role with this team is going to be absolutely crucial when that series starts against the Winnipeg Jets.
You better believe it, and both sides of the ice, right? That's the stuff. He does a lot of the heavy lifting, the dirty work that maybe you don't see unless you're a hardcore hockey fan. Maybe not the offensive excitement that perhaps we thought he was going to be as a big draft pick, but he's turned out to be one of the most important players on the team, and especially in the defensive side of things.
Well, and when you think about the series, Kelly, against the Jets, when the Flames have last change and when they can get it, I think there's an awfully good chance that Jeff Ward looks, at least in part, for the Backlund line to go up against the Scheifele line. I think you'll see a lot of that, especially when the Flames have last change and are in a position to do just that. Michael had a slow start to this past season, but my goodness, was he on an absolute tear before the stoppage in March. He had 28 of his 45 points that he registered, Kelly, in the last 28 games of the season. And you and I have done this show now for a long time, and the one statement that I've used a million times about Michael Backlund is when he is a legitimate two-way threat in a game, this team just doesn't lose very often. They flat out don't lose very often. When he's at the top of his game on both sides of the ledger, it to me, more often than not, probably 90% of the time, it spells some real success. And, you know, as far as the playoffs are concerned for Michael, like the rest of his, you know, core group teammates, there's have been some ups and some downs. Michael has 8 points, 3 goals, 5 assists for 8 points in 20 career playoff games. And when you reach the age of 30, and I, you know, Michael still has, I believe, plenty of good years left in him, but you cross that 30-year-old barrier, Kelly, and things start to change, and it changes rapidly. And Michael cares very much. He's been through every up and down, as you well know, that this organization has offered to him in his decade-long stretch with a hockey team, and I can't imagine how excited he is about the potential of playing more playoff hockey, because when you've played 690 regular season and 20 playoffs, you know what you're not taking for granted? Playing in the playoffs.
Exactly, and here's a guy that when he came into the Flames organization, it was, you know, bumpy to start, and also filled with some injuries, but somehow, some way, whether it's just taking care of your body or knowing how the rigors of the NHL work, he has been, you know, fairly a lot more durable. I don't want to say like, you know, Iron Man style, but he has been able to stay in the lineup a lot longer and for bigger stretches of time than he did maybe in the first part of his career.
Well, I completely agree. And I think the thing that really has changed, Kelly, the last 3 or 4 years – is for a long time, I truly felt that Michael fought confidence. And the injury certainly played a part of that. You know, he'd have some good stretches and then get nicked up. And, you know, I really think, and he's addressed it over the years, that, you know, confidence and truly believing in what he brought to the table night in and night out. But three or four seasons ago, that really changed. And thus, he has become a massive impact player for this hockey team. And frankly, he'll be as, you know, almost as important, I think, as anyone in terms of this team having any postseason success.
We're chatting with Peter Labardius. This is Hockey Central at noon right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. It is Friday. The Flames into day five of their return to work with their full group. And I guess it took 4 days before, you know, we really had some controversy kind of blow up. And the Flames GM, to his credit, decided, okay, let's head this off right away. I'm hearing too much about it. So Brad Treliving had a session with the media. And basically, you know, straightforward, answered the questions about Johnny Gaudreau and being in the different group and conditioning, that sort of thing. That's a guy putting his players before him, and he'll take the slings and arrows. And I expected that from Brad. That's the type of guy that he is. And I've had a few interactions with him. That is on brand for him. And he came to the defense of his star forward yesterday.
Well, Kelly, in all sincerity, the whole groupings situation has been, in many ways, the elephant in the room. And because of the fact that the team is under the code of the National Hockey League, you just cannot say very much about why you're going about your business in a certain way. But the fact of the matter is, after day number one, I mean, it was pretty apparent to many of us, and frankly, to his credit, you know, Brad really headed it off at the pass yesterday. But I thought even earlier in the week, and I know that Robbie and I and on this show, you know, have talked based on what we heard from Jeff about circumstances. And the circumstances are, and I know that, you know, even Elliot referred to it this morning, you know, you take it for whatever you will. And that is obviously, health is number one. And if there are people with health concerns, then you have to make sure that others who might have been around those people are going to be okay and in the best position that they are. But, you know, the fact of the matter is, and I've seen every single second of what's gone on this week, in no way, shape, or form, if you've been here, has anybody questioned the physical readiness of any of the players? Not one. Not one single one. And certainly not Johnny Gaudreau. I mean, you know, from my vantage point here in our section 226, Johnny's been flying around and looks as free as I've seen him in well over a year. And what I mean by free is, Kelly, let's not kid anybody. For a great part of last year, it was like the whole world was weighing down on him. He just didn't look like he was having very much fun doing something that, you know, I truly believe is the reason that he's been able to get over humps that people didn't expect him to get over during the course of his career to be an impact player in the league. So, you know, again, the general manager of this hockey team, Kelly, it only figures, doesn't it? Like, when is it going to stop? What this team has been through in the last calendar year, you know, really, when you think about it, you go back to losing Juuso Välimäki to a season-ending knee injury in the summer in what, from all accounts, was, you know, a bit of a freak scenario. Then you have the TJ Brody situation. You have the Bill Peters scenario. You know, it just really, and then something called COVID.
Yeah, there's that too. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it has not stopped for this group. So, you know,
I was thinking about that, Lou, and I was thinking about all the stuff they've gone through. And, you know, you hear, you know, championship teams and teams that go on to good things in the postseason. You hear about that all the time, and it's a rallying point. What did you hear about from St. Louis last year? It was all about that. It was about injuries and coaching changes. And you know what? You know, people didn't think they counted us out and all that kind of stuff. You know, the Washington Capitals, they win. It's like, you know what? Ovi can't win the big game. But you know what? We had all this stuff when we came together. And after it's all said and done, maybe this is something that the guys can get together. They'll get in that bubble and they'll play for each other, not have to worry about the fans. And honestly, about the Johnny Gaudreau thing, if this team, this radio station, was based in Nashville or Phoenix or Miami, we wouldn't have talked about it. It's just because the spotlight is so strong and the sports media wants to pick up on stuff. I really believe that that's what it is. People were looking for stories and reading stuff and getting on social media. I don't know, Lou, maybe I'm wrong. I just don't know if it would be that big of a story if we weren't into a hardcore hockey market.
Well, you know, I don't, or a hardcore hockey country, because you know, a lot of what was addressed yesterday did not come from the local marketplace. That's just a fact. That isn't what set off what the general manager did. And, you know, it's really, really difficult sometimes. The bottom line is, and I'm not pointing fingers in any way, shape, or form. You know, everybody has a job to do. It's really difficult to do. But frankly, it matters a lot when you're covering a hockey team to see them and watch them go about their business on a day-to-day basis. You're just in a position in so many different ways. Not always, because, you know, let's not kid anybody either. Certain things get to certain people in national markets sometimes that don't always get to local types. Like, that's business too. That's the reality of, you know, certain things. So, you know, there's a game to be played in a lot of different situations. But you're right. You know, here's how I categorize it, Kelly. The National Hockey League, its players, the league itself, obviously decided in the COVID scenario that what was most important, and I completely get it, like I'm behind it, is privacy. Like, you really have to be careful in this situation. It makes a lot of sense. But when you eliminate because of privacy and you can't really discuss a whole lot of why people are either in certain groups or, more importantly, you know, why they're not on the ice, then what does it open the door for? It opens the door for more speculation. So, you know, again, it's too bad. But always for me, the most important thing, and again, take it for what this is, and people will chime in on the text line one way or another. One thing about the general manager of this hockey team, he has been faced time after time with very difficult scenarios. And I can't tell you, Kelly, how impressed I have been with Brad's ability to lead this group. You do not have to spend a lot of time around him or be associated with him in any way, shape, or form to understand he really cares about his people. I remember when I was sick in 2016, that summer, when my liver went crazy, he would reach out to me like every 2 weeks just to check in and see how I was. He didn't have to do that, but that's the kind of person that he is. And I commend him for it in a big, big way.
And for all those Sate, Mount Royal, Lethbridge College, Red Deer College, you know, broadcasting students, Professor Lou just said it for you. If you want to get into sports broadcasting, you actually have to go to the practices and, you know, attend them and be into the team. So there's some awesome advice for everybody thinking about getting into this business.
Yeah, I'm a pretty big believer of that, yes.
Sometimes it gets lost on people. We're chatting with Peter Labardis. It is Hockey Central at noon, our Friday edition. You know, it's so interesting when you sometimes forget about some of the storylines. And you and Robbie were talking about it on a Wednesday. I was driving home. I was getting some pizza from Sammy's is what I was doing. And then you guys talk about like Rob brought up the free agents and the UFAs and what's going on. And you kind of forget about some of the guys that are, oh yeah, TJ Brody, who has been interesting his career here. He has been, you know, the penthouse, the outhouse, you know, the basement, however, you know, cliche you want, people like to pick on him. They like to jump all over him. They like to heap praise on him. But he's a guy that is really, really going to have to elevate. And you wanted to talk about T.J. Brody and what Coach Ward was talking about, his defenseman.
Yeah, I found it, and you'll hear from Jeff about T.J. and his importance in just a second. Kelly, we touched on it at the time, and I want to reiterate it now. I truly believe when T.J. had his episode this season and collapsed during practice. In fact, as you know, right in the middle of Hockey Central at noon while you and I
we made the national news. Remember that?
I do. Yeah. That was one of the most interesting, if not the most, I've ever been a part of. But, you know, TJ was away. You know, again, so fortunate. Things turned out incredibly well. And I saw a difference in him when he returned. I think in many ways it helped him. It helped him mentally. I truly believe, Kelly, it took some pressure off him. Like, TJ is a very quiet guy. He doesn't have a whole lot to say. Frankly, I've been around him for 10 years, and, you know, he's an introverted guy. Doesn't offer much. And so he's a hard guy to get to know and get to read. But when people are like that, we can't take that to mean that they don't care and it doesn't matter. But I do. I thought he came back off that episode, and it seemed like it just, you know, when things happen to you in life of that nature, what does it do? It puts life in perspective.
Yes, it does.
It does.
You don't have that, then what do you have, right?
You don't. But, you know, we get perspective sometimes in the strangest, oddest, and frankly, most difficult of ways. And he came back, and I thought by far and away, he played his best hockey of the season. You know, it looks like he'll start being paired with his longtime friend and buddy, Mark Giordano. And, you know, the teams, if you want to refer to it that way, number one pairing. And I was really taken yesterday when he was asked, Jeff Ward, about the importance of TJ Brody. And his response, Kelly, especially with the Travis Hamonic situation that, you know, I don't think lend itself to Hamonic potentially being back. Well, when you listen to Jeff Ward, it would make you think that TJ Brody's future could very much still be in Calgary when this season comes to an end.
It's huge. And I think you only have to take a look at when Gio went down, how well he played for us. Like, he really, you know, I think he took the decor a little bit on his back. You know, he raised his level of play. I thought in the absence of Gio, he really stepped up. He's a guy in our room that says the right things at the right time. Like, he's a quiet guy, but he's got some real, real strong leadership attributes, which we're happy that he's starting to exercise those and show those on a more regular basis. You know, and I tell him all the time how, you know, how important that is to what he brings to the table for us. But you're right. A lot of people don't talk about him, but he's an extremely important member of our team, not only by what he does on the ice, but also by what he does in terms of with our group as a leader, you know, and as a guy who develops our culture and points guys in the right direction of how we want, you know, Calgary Flames to be. So he's real, real important that way. And of course, you know, what he brings to the game on a regular basis. He's a smart player. He takes pride in his own personal preparation and performance, which is good. And I don't think a lot of people necessarily see that. So we really value him on our team. And we feel like he's only going to get stronger in that leadership role that he's starting to become comfortable with, which will make him even more important for us.
There we go. Jeff Ward talking about TJ Brody. And boy, that is the clip of the week, because you get some insight on what he's like. You know, we talk about pulling back the curtain. We knew he's quiet. Maybe we didn't know, unless you really follow the team, the type of things that he does off the ice with the group. Speaks up when the time is right. And you know, we know what he can do on the ice. That was interesting stuff from Coach Ward.
Yeah, it really stuck with me yesterday when I heard it, so I wanted to use it today on the show. And if that was not a ringing endorsement, I'm not sure what you would need for a ringing endorsement. So, and again, Jeff is just so much about growing people and studying people. He does spends countless hours reading all kinds of different books, as many coaches do. And that's what I found with Jeff. You know, he's a teacher, as you know, by nature, really cares about people. And I found part of that comment about, you know, looking to try to grow him even more as a leader of this team. So, TJ, by the way, if I would have asked you, and now I'm giving it away, in 20 career playoff games between Michael Backlund and TJ Brody, which player do you think has had more points?
Well, I know how you're wording the question, so I'll guess.
So
TJ,
you know,
Brody.
The answer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
TJ Brody scored 2 goals in last year's playoffs and has 11 points in 20 postseason games, huh, and is a plus player. He's plus +1.
Wow. So just to kind of, you know, if you're just joining us maybe midway through the segment, off the top, I guess the big story is Michael Backlund was back.
Yes, that is it. After getting nicked up earlier, it was great to see him come out, and he didn't seem like there was a lot of discomfort. A matter of fact, his session on the Zoom call started literally 25 seconds before you came to me, so I wasn't able to hear him in terms of how he's feeling, but I know that Pat and company will have that on the afternoon show today.
We'll get it for sure. And just before we let you go and enjoy your weekend, Vezina Trophy,
thanks.
The nominees came out. Connor Hellebuck, Andrei Vasilevskiy, and Tuukka Rask. Your thoughts on, Flames are going to face one of those nominees coming up in just a few short days.
You know what? For me, it's that individual, Connor Hellebuck. In fact, I think he was so important to the success of the Winnipeg Jets. He might have garnered some votes, frankly, for a bigger award in terms of the type of importance that he had for his team. Now, the good news for the Calgary Flames on the Hellebuck front, Kelly, as you know, because we've spoken about it, to me, this is a brand new season. And if you're Calgary, you wouldn't mind getting about 2 in the first 10 minutes of the first period, because those numbers, I give him all the credit in the world. I think he's one of the emerging young goalies in the National Hockey League. But this is a brand new season. A brand new season. But he absolutely, he is my number one choice.
Okay, Lou, thanks for everything this week, and we will talk next week for sure.
Well, I get to do something today that I haven't done in 5 months.
What?
I get to drive down the road and see my son.
That's
so
going to be
excited.
Okay. Good for you. Enjoy the drive, and we'll talk
to you
on Monday.
Take care.
Flames insider Peter Loubardias, brought to you by the Gemini Group. Imagine your life, your style. Your home renovation should be a reflection of you. Give your home the Gemini difference. Visit GeminiGroup.ca.
It is Hockey Central at noon. Kelly Kirsch on a Friday afternoon. Coming up 1 o'clock means the arrival of Logan Gordon. Steinberg in after 2 o'clock, and they have a lot to talk about. I mean, there's football stuff going on. There's stuff down south of the border. And, of course, Flames. Like, we had all kinds of stuff. It's never a dull moment around Flames camp. So we'll find out about that. Maybe we'll stir it up next. Eric Francis Fridays is back. We'll talk about the new sponsor. We'll see, getting a bunch of emails about Eric Francis, so he must be up to something. So we'll find out what's going on with that as we talk to Francis next, right here on Hockey Central at noon.
Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
It's Kelly Kirsch for your Friday. We've got Elliot Friedman coming up before 1 o'clock and the arrival of Logan Gordon. Pat Steinberg in at 2 o'clock, but it's back. It's Eric Francis Fridays with a brand new sponsor. It's Hyatt Infinity, Calgary's original Infinity destination. Own one and you'll understand. Hyatt Infinity on Luxury Lane. Empower the drive, and you do just that, Eric. You're a proud driver of a great product from Hyatt Infinity.
Yeah, I've been with Hyatt for a while, and they do a nice job over there. A great job, actually. And, I'm a SUV guy. Always have been, always will be. So I drive that QX60, which is a gorgeous ride, and I couldn't be happier. I'm so glad that they're sponsoring this, too. These guys do great work in the community, and I think that's important when you're thinking about where to buy your next vehicle, all things being equal. Go and support people who support your community, and that's what Hyatt Infinity does, and they do it really well.
And that SUV is going to help you out because you can get your golf clubs back there, but you can also load up the crew when you got to take the family somewhere, right?
Off to the lake right now with four bikes, a dog, two children, my wife, and everything else you can imagine. A crate. You got it all in the back. I got a propane tank. Yeah, it could be. I can pack about that. Like I said, I'm an SUV guy. Without one, I don't know what I would do.
There
we
go.
My kids want me to get fancy new sports cars and all this stuff. And while I love the idea, it just doesn't fit into our lifestyle.
No, that was a couple decades ago for you, right?
Yeah.
That's right. Hey, Free Eric. I always know that you're maybe kind of stirring the pot up by how many email complaints I get about you. And they seem to have kind of cranked up with the Flames camp. I read your article. I didn't think you were, going too crazy. But, I mean, people are sort of fired up. So, I don't know. We're definitely in a hockey city. And that's, very, very much to the forefront yesterday with the Flames GM having to kind of pour some water on a lot of people's theories about Johnny Gaudreau. You were on that Zoom call. Kind of take us through it.
Well, I think it's important to mention that, like, nobody asked for Brad Treliving yesterday. I mean, he's often in high demand, but nobody requested a chat with Brad Treliving. You know, we're always happy to chat with him. He's always got tremendous insights, but he was the one who called the press availability and wanted to kind of set the record straight in his opinion and, like, the way he sees it. And, there are a couple national analysts. It's funny. A lot of people thought, that people in Calgary were suggesting that Johnny Gaudreau was showing up at camp out of shape. Now, listen, Johnny Gaudreau's never been known for his conditioning. He's never been a gym rat or a guy who loves that. But I don't think anybody locally was suggesting it was because these groups were so wonky just because he was out of shape. I think it's all pretty obvious to everyone why the groups are where they are. And it all has to do with COVID and the world we're living in right now and the precautions necessary surrounding that, the fear of getting it, all that stuff. We can all draw our own conclusions on why the groups are like that, but I don't think anyone locally was saying it was because Johnny Gaudreau was out of shape. But nationally, some guys decided to go that route, and that irked the general manager. And I don't blame him. I think, as you're going into playoffs, you're always looking at ways to rally around one another, and defending your players is always a good way to do it. Brian Burke was brilliant at it. He kind of knew when to step in and kind of admonish the media and protect his players. And this is, I think this is Brad Treliving trying to do his part in that same vein.
And Daryl did it too in 2004. He was famous for that, right? He would take the flack and get in front of the media just to take the heat off the players. And it really worked. It does work, right? That's what you do. You let the players play and he can take the slings and arrows and he's okay with it. I wanted to ask you, I talked to Lou a little bit about this, and you go back to the St. Louis Blues last year, and they talked about all the adversity they had to overcome, coach getting fired, this, injuries, all this kind of stuff that happened, and you wonder, the Flames have had all kinds of stuff go on, coaching change, COVID, everyone's gone through COVID, but them as well, and, TJ Brody passing out. I mean, there's just been nonstop things. Is this maybe a situation where the guys can rally around this, get into that bubble and say, okay, we're going to play for each other and we're going to make the season mean something and be special and not end in a week, the first week in August?
Yeah, I think these guys know that very few people are picking them to win that first series or go for. I should rephrase that. It's a coin flip to me on who's going to win that first series with Winnipeg. It's a formidable opponent for sure. I don't hear anybody in the National Hockey League, outside of maybe diehard fans, who think this team is on the verge of doing something really, really special. Now, that said, and I'm not saying they can't. I'm just saying I don't hear anybody doing it. You have a scenario where they've had a lot of adversity. I agree with you. There have been a lot of storylines, a lot of distractions this year. And, from that, they rallied, and I thought they really responded well to the adversity, and that was the knock on them last year. They had no adversity all year long. Then suddenly they ran into it head first against Colorado, and they didn't know how to react. They panicked. This year, maybe they're a little more battle-tested. You know, I think it's – I certainly am not going to make any predictions on who's going to win the Cup this year. I mean, I guess we're going to be asked to do all that stuff, and I loathe to do it. But, come on, really? There's no momentum. There's no indicators as to who's coming in hot, who's coming in, you know, with more of a bee in their bonnet. I mean, it's anybody's tournament. I really agree with that. As Brad Sullivan keeps saying, you got to create your own momentum. Can these guys do that? I don't know. Most people don't think they can. I know that internally they see that as a motivator to prove everybody wrong.
I mean, there's a lot of teams, Eric, when you think about this play-in series that, you know, there's the teams that, you know, think they should have been higher up in the standings. And there's a bunch of teams that, man, we didn't think we'd be in the playoffs. And maybe this is our time to shine. It's going to be an interesting ride to see who can kind of take that opportunity and turn it into something special, because not everybody will. We know that. And especially under the circumstances, it is going to be very different for those guys. They're all going to have to play in front of no fans, which they haven't done since maybe, you know, Bantam or something. So this is going to be a true challenge mentally and physically for these guys.
Oh, yeah. Everything's so different. And it's the team that can adapt to all these abnormalities that's going to win the Cup. I have no doubt about it. I mean, it is interesting to look around the league and see some of the teams that got some injuries, some guys that they had assumed were done for the year, and suddenly they're back in the picture because of the four-month pause. Those are wild cards there, you know. Those teams really are so excited to have those guys back. We may have one here in Calgary with Yusuf Alamaki, but I very much doubt he'll be in play. He's been looking great in camp so far, but I think there's a lot of reasons, you know, with the depth of this team and the fact that they'd have to expose him on the Seattle draft, I can't see him being one of them. But back to your original point, yeah, it's a team that can take this really crazy situation and embrace it and turn it into their own that's going to win the Cup. You know, the parity is such that I do think almost every team can win it, save for maybe four of them. Some would be obviously more surprising than others, but it's going to be so fascinating. I'm one of these guys, and I'd be interested to know your thoughts, Kelly, too. Like, I can't get hyped yet. It's too weird down at the Dome right now with just the scenario that it's so abnormal for all of us, the players, the media, the trainers, everyone. I'm not pumped up about it. I'm not on the verge. I'm not really excited yet. But I think August 1st, that flip is going to get switched for all of us. For all of us.
Yeah.
We are going to be so into this tournament once it starts. But I forgive anyone who right now says, I'm not going to watch. I think they're lying. But I do believe that they really believe that at this point in time.
I'm wondering about it, too. I think on my mind is what it's going to look and what it's going to sound like as the PD of the station that's going to be running the games, how we're going to do it, how we're going to relay that to the audience is a bit of a challenge for us. And you're right. I mean, normally in this country, the August long weekend, can you get a more chill, laid back, hang out with your family, go on vacation kind of weekend? That is the one that everybody does that. But it's going to be different this time. And I think once people see it and are okay with it and get used to the, you know, hey, there's no fans there, but it's still hockey, it's still the NHL, it's still your team, it's still your Flames. I think once you see that, you're going to be just fine. So that'll be interesting. But I'm with you. I'm okay. I'm hearing the reports. It's a bunch of practices. Normally we would add, you know, one or two preseason games already. We're not going to get that for another week. So we just have to kind of be patient and see what happens. And I think once those guys get into the bubble and it's, you know, quote unquote, as safe as they can make it, then they can just play and see what happens. But let's face it, come August the 8th or 9th or whatever it is, there are going to be a bunch of teams that are going to be absolutely devastated. They came back, they got trained up, and bang, they're out of it. It's going to be a massive disappointment for, you know, some teams maybe not so much because they didn't expect to be there in the first place. But, Eric, there are going to be some teams that are kind of go like, what happened there? What, you know, here we are in March, and then now it's August, and now we're done. Like, it's, you know, the off season is going to be very strange for a lot of teams.
Oh, well, you know, what off season? I know they're still going to have 5-6 weeks off, but it's still going to be weird because hockey for most families in Canada is going to be back on in September. I hope, anyway, it looks like it. But, yeah, it puts all the more pressure on these teams in this play-in series to not let their entire season just come down to three or four games and you're done in four or five nights. Like, it's, I heard Eric Gustafson say yesterday, you know, we have to win the first game. Well, that's the mentality, of course, of every single team. And if you don't win that first game, how much panic sets in? How much do you start second guessing? How much do you start worrying about all the speculation that's going to surround the team if you do get knocked out in 4 or 5 days? There's so much at stake. And that's why I do think the storylines will be delicious from August 1st on. As a matter of fact, I'll go a step further. August or July 28th, when Edmonton plays Calgary, I do think they'll get a bit, people will get a bit of a head start on the excitement of this whole thing, because, you know, having those two teams play, I'm not suggesting the goalies are going to fight or Cassian is going to fight anyone, or I'd be shocked if there was a fight at all, but I do think the intensity will be going from 0 to 100, and I think that'll get a lot of people into it right away. Yeah. I hope so anyway. In some ways, I have heard people say, I'm more interested in that game than I am against Winnipeg, but trust me, that'll change August 1st.
It will. So what is your situation with Sportsnet? Are you going to Edmonton? You're going to be kind of embedded with the guys. How's it going to work for you?
I'm going to Edmonton, but I'm not embedded, as you say. You know, I'm certainly not in the bubble. They don't want the great unwashed media anywhere near them, and I don't blame them. So the only advantage for going there as opposed to covering it from your couch, which most people are going to do, is that I can get into the games and watch them live at Rogers Place. And so, but as soon as the game's over, instead of rushing down to the dressing room area, I got to race back to my hotel and get on a Zoom call or wait for phone calls from the various players that we've requested. So it's going to be odd. It's going to be different, but I'll be there. And, hey, if the access, you know, the access won't be good, but, you know, I'm interested in seeing a game without fans in the building. I don't anticipate it to be good at all. The atmosphere, of course, but that's where I'll be, and I'll be reporting dutifully from there for however long the Calgary Flames last, and I'll be covering the playoffs from there after, probably from my couch.
Yeah,
like most people, which is just so weird.
Yeah, it is a little different. So let's just kind of review here. You're back on Eric Francis Fridays here on Hockey Central Noon. Brought to you by Hyatt Infinity, but you're also back for the Eric Francis Show. I spent a long time coming up with that name, and I thought it was the best, most original name ever. That's on Mondays, 9 o'clock. So, and we got Horse Racing Alberta coming back as a great partner. So,
I've enjoyed doing it for the last year and a half, something like that, 2 years, and it's a ton of fun. You know, we've been working a lot of golf in there because that's my passion outside of hockey. But now that hockey's back, I think we know what's going to take front and center, probably starting as early as this Monday on the show. I do enjoy doing it, and love working with Will Nault. He's a class act.
Yeah, he's back on Monday. Looking forward to it. Okay, Eric, have a good couple of days with your family, and we'll talk to you on Monday for sure.
Okay, thanks, Cal. Have a great weekend, my man.
There we go. Eric Francis Fridays for Hyatt Infinity, Calgary's original Infinity destination. Own one, and you'll understand. Hyatt Infinity on Luxury Lane. Empower the drive. All right. We'll take a break, and we're going to hear a chunk of what Elliot Friedman had to say earlier today. Always good to have him on Fridays. He joins the morning show about 7:45 or so, and we usually keep him until about 5 after 8 or so. It's always good radio. It's always available on our website as well. Go to sportsnet.ca/960 and have a little look-see at that. You subscribe to the podcast. They'll come right to you that way. You do lots of different things. You can stream us if you want. You can listen to us on Radio Player Canada, the Sportsnet app or whatever. Next week is the last week for your chance to win a box of Upper Deck hockey cards. The guys have been choosing the card of the day, and they give clues to which famous athlete is on the card. It's always a hockey player, by the way. If you think you know who it is, text in your guess at 960-960. We're going to draw a winner each day like we've been doing. And the good news is you don't have to come down to the station or mess around. We'll just mail it right to you. Simple as that. Coming up next week, it's the OPG Platinum Series. That'll be in the afternoon show with, Ryan's still on the morning show for one more week. So that is coming up. So it'll be Peter and Steinberg doing that. Upper Deck, Collect the best, home of the world's greatest athletes. Visit upperdeckstore.com. We will check in with Elliot Friedman next as Hockey Central at Noon continues for your Friday right here on Sportsnet 960.
Hockey Central at Noon on Sportsnet 960. The Fan.
Logan Gordon coming up at 1 o'clock. The arrival of Pat Steinberg at 2 right here on Sportsnet 960. The Fan. Yeah, then I guess we got Tim and Sid coming up at 6 o'clock. We get to some baseball next week as the Jays will have preseason games Tuesday, Wednesday in Boston. We'll have those for you about 5:30. And then a week today at 4:30, the Jays versus Tampa Bay. And that will be a 4:30 start. So we'll have Jays all weekend and then we'll get ready for it. Flames and Oilers on the 28th of July as we are going to do hockey COVID style from the hub. Looking forward to that. It's going to be pretty cool. So Battle of Alberta coming up on July 28th. So the training camps are underway. Teams are doing their thing and wanted to talk about the Boston Bruins. That was the first question they asked Elliot Friedman earlier today with Ryan Pinder and Peter Klein talking about what's up with the Bruins.
To me, we're all playing a big guessing game here, right, Ryan? And it's similar to what's going on in Flames camp. And that is that we have guys here who are unfit to practice or unfit to participate. And we have, and I think what comes around them is contact tracing issues. And that is that I don't know who's tested positive and who hasn't. Obviously there's no confirmation of that. Nobody in hockey has willingly come out and said it. But what I do think has happened is that you get positive tests, and then you do the contact tracing. Okay, who's been around them? And then you say, okay, that person is being either excluded or they're being kept with other – or if they're testing negative, then they're just being kept with other people who are in kind of the same group. And, you know, so I think that's the one thing. Like, I get people who tell me, they say – don't assume that someone who isn't skating is a positive COVID test. But what they have kind of hinted to me is if they're not skating or they're skating with a certain group, there's a contact tracing issue. And maybe that player has tested negative, but we just don't want them around people because either A, there could be crossover, or B, we just are worried that they could test positive. That kind of thing is going on.
Okay, so there's lots there to unpack, and I do want to do that. Yep. Starting with the Flames, if there was not a positive case, could you explain how things are being run the way they're run? Because if there was a COVID case, this all makes sense. If there wasn't, I have no idea how you can explain that your second pairing, your top line winger, your second line winger, your third line center, your backup goalie, nine guys are being isolated and you have placeholders all over the main group. I can't explain that unless there's a COVID case. And I'm not trying to, you know, unearth this, but I just, it has to be that.
Yeah. I mean, like common sense, right, Ryan? Like, do we know? No. Do we have reason to believe there's one somewhere, at least one somewhere? Yes. That's the only, like I don't believe that Johnny Gaudreau's out of shape. I don't believe that, you know, they're upset at him in any particular way. Like when he was put with the other group, I don't believe for a second that was a benching or a disciplinary action or a we're mad at you action or anything like that. I don't believe it. I think quite simply, somewhere there's a concern with a particular person. And my guess is that, and this is purely an educated guess. Nobody's confirming anything because nobody's allowed to talk about it. But I would guess that maybe Gaudreau had exposure to that person. And they're just saying, okay, we're going to play this safe. Like, to me, it's a contact tracing issue.
Okay.
We've got a test. Who was around him? This guy or these guys were around him. We're going to keep all those guys together.
Okay.
That's what I think that is. What possible reason? Like, I just don't see how there's a disciplinary issue there.
No,
I don't.
There's not. And both the head coach and the GM vehemently denied that's the case.
When the head coach comes out at the beginning of camp and says something happened here that we're not allowed to talk about, that's the code, right?
Yeah.
Yep. That's the code.
Circumstances,
that is,
quote unquote.
We've got a circumstance here where something's happened, and we're making sure that we're exposing as few people as possible.
Okay, so that's the flame stuff. We can leave that aside, but I do want to sift through some of the protocols. How often are players being tested here in Phase 3 versus once they get into the bubble? I believe it's daily once they get to the hub cities, but is it daily now? Is it every other day? Is it twice a day? What are we at?
I have to check, but I think it's every other day right now. And the bubble, it's every day, and it's going to be scheduled. Like, in the bubble, it's practice. Like it's like practice. Like, every day you get a schedule. Here's your practice time. Here's your game time if you have it. And here's your testing time. Like, it's going to be part of the daily routine. It's going to be scheduled. Right now, I think it's every other day, although I don't have the Phase 3 protocols right in front of me. And then if there's reason to be concerned about you in terms of exposure, then I think it happens daily. Like, I know of one team, for example, where before this all started, before Phase 3 started, they saw on a player's social that they'd been out, and that team flagged that guy and said, "You're coming in every day." So I think that's kind of the way it goes right now. Now, the other thing that's part of this is, as of Sunday, 2 days from now, it goes to, I think that players, it's only rink and home.
Okay.
So there's now, in a perfect world, they would have been doing that already. But I think the players say, you have to at least let us have a bit of leeway here. But I think that as of Sunday, it goes to home and rink as they try to lock this down even more.
Secondly, what would allow a player to return who has tested positive? How many negatives do they need? Is there a minimum amount of days that they have to spend isolated? Give us that.
It's, you know what? I'd have to check it, Ryan. It's all in the protocols. But if there is a positive test, then there is it's in the protocols. I don't have it in front of me, but it's all explained in Phase 3 and Phase 4. And also in Phase 4, like, for example, Lars Eller has said if the Capitals are still in the playoffs early in September, he's leaving for the birth of his child. And, I don't think anybody's going to have a problem with that.
Sure.
And then it explains what he's got to do to get back in.
Fair enough.
So it's and also now, and I think this was one of the issues they were trying to work out with Edmonton, and one of the reasons that nothing had been finalized yet, is that they're talking about the protocols for families to come in for the semifinal and final, and what the families would have to go through in terms of testing and protocol to get in there.
And the one thing about this virus that makes it so difficult, as we know, is that the reason you need multiple negatives in a certain time frame is that you can carry the virus but not have a viral load large enough to produce a positive. And that also would explain the Flames isolating guys who've been producing negative tests all week. They're worried that, not that they have it, but that there's a potential that in 3 or 4 days or 3 or 4 tests down the road, there might be a positive. It's not as simple as just you have it or don't, right?
That is true, Ryan. And there's a couple other issues that go with that. And number one, in Montreal, we've seen a false positive. And that happens too. That's, there have been situations. I remember early in, there was reporting out of South Korea that people who had recovered, then they found out there was a report that they caught a second time, and we're all sitting there going, oh no. And then it turned out that those were false positives. So there's now been one in Montreal. And so that adds to it. You've got to be careful because of that. And the other thing is, and I think I mentioned this on a couple of radio shows this week, is a doctor I know who does some dealing with athletes, he doesn't say any names, but he's also talked about how, if you get it, everybody's different in how long it stays in your system. And he kind of indicated that there have been at least one case where a player tested positive and still was testing positive 20 days later. So, crazy. I think that, it just shows you we're playing a lot of roulette here. We just don't know. And we're still in the infancy of understanding what we're going to understand about COVID.
There you go. That was Elliot Freeman with the guys from earlier this morning. That will do it for Hockey Central at Noon. Logan Gordon kicks off Pinder and Steinberg next on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.